time. Coffee, 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 coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Coffee Break Hour with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And I think it's a day for iced coffee, Yusuf, because it is so hot. It is so hot here where we are. We've been having a crazy, crazy heat wave. Please think of us. Send us some ice down here. And yeah, we just pray that this coffee break is going to be a huge blessing this evening. We know that Abba Father is good, that his love and faithfulness just endures forever. We just want to give him all the praise this evening. And so welcome. We pray that you will settle down and settle in with us. And may we go tonight where the Ruach leads us to go. You know, the coffee breaks, Yusuf, have been such a blessing, especially lately. Last week was just such a huge, phenomenal blessing to us on the coffee break. And just to you know, hear from people about how their lives were touched and things that happened for them. That is encouraging. That is so great, and we just praise Yeshua for that. So Yusuf, welcome to you. I know that you've been struggling in this crazy heat, but how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Like Aaliyah said, I think that what people don't always understand is that we're sitting in a room that we've converted to a studio, and in order for us to get the sound quality that we need for broadcasting or for doing videos, we have to have everything closed. So, you know,
and
in this
everything
heat,
off, no fans.
And you can't have a fan on or anything because it just messes up the sound. So for the time that we're sitting broadcasting or doing a video, it's really difficult. So in summertime, we really do struggle. And that's why oftentimes, you know, we're saying, you know, pray for us, because it really is. It's
you
hard.
You know, South African homes are not like, you know, homes for our friends like in the US that we go to, and there's air conditioning. South African homes aren't equipped for this kind of weather, and it's really ridiculous, really, because I feel like the weather systems are changing so much that our winters are getting a lot colder.
Sorry.
Like there was times during this winter where we were literally jumped in bed in the afternoon, like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, with loads of blankets on and jerseys, and we sat there because we were so cold. So homes aren't insulated to keep heating, and it's not isolated for cold weather, you know, to cool us down or anything like that. So, you know, obviously people that have a lot of money these days are putting air conditioning in.
Right.
And can afford to run that air conditioning in. And, you know, that's what I love about the UK, for example, when we would go to the UK to visit family. I mean, the homes are just kitted out, and it's kitted out with gas. It doesn't cost a lot of money. So it's always nice and toasty, or it's always nice and cool. Oh, man. Yeah, maybe so that one day perhaps we will be living in the UK.
So, sitting in a plastic bath with a whole lot of ice while we do the coffee break.
And you know, even these cats, you know, we set them up, all the fans are on, everything's going inside. We set them up so nicely, but they want to sit by us, so they'll endure the heat. Hey, the heat on the street.
That's it.
That is a testimony right there to how we should be with Yeshua, right?
Amen.
These cats are sitting in this really hot room. They could be enjoying themselves out there. And yet, because they want that nearness and that closeness and that intimacy of that hearing your voice and knowing that they're in your presence, they will endure whatever it takes to be there, persevering through almost the hard trial of the hour-long heat to be with their pets. That is so sweet. Yusuf, would you like to open in prayer for us this evening?
Let's do that. Father, as Aaliyah said, we are so honored and privileged to always be able to just broadcast, Father, on the coffee break, despite the heat, Father, despite whether it's cold or hot, Father, it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to get behind the microphone, Father, and really just spend time with the brothers and sisters around the world. And Father, we know this week, Father, that you have a message, Father, for your people. Every single week, Father, you have shown up in a phenomenal and supernatural way, Father. And we are so grateful, Father, that you do that. We are so grateful, Father, for the testimonies that we can hear week in and week out from the people, Father, that have listened to this coffee break. And Father, for that, we give you praise and we give you glory. Father, all glory and honor and praise goes to you, and we are so thankful. So Father, this evening, as we just fellowship around your word, Father, I pray that the words of our mouths, Father, and the fellowship, Father, of our hearts, and the fellowship of each and every person that's here, Father, will be acceptable and pleasing to you. And we ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you, Father, will speak to our hearts. That, Father, it will not be the ideas of men, but, Father, that it will be your truth, Father, spoken just through us, Father, which are just vessels, Yahweh, for your glory and for your kingdom. And we thank you for this. You. Father, we also want to pray today, Father, that any person that has joined us, Father, that is struggling, going through a hard time, Father, or maybe just come here, and, Father, maybe they are downcast, Father, I pray by the end of this coffee break, Father, that they will leave spirit liberated, Father, and that they will be free, Father, in you, and that you will bless them. So we thank you for this, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Yosef, just before we go into the coffee break, I just wanted to, just before we got into it, just wanted to, you know, say something or just give a tribute to those Jewish people that were killed yesterday in that terrible shooting in Pittsburgh. And when we were reading about it last night, and yeah, it's just sometimes I don't really know how to really process it. I don't really know how to not, you know, feel it, being so, having spent so many years in the Jewish community and feeling that and knowing what faces you, and knowing there was a time even here in South Africa where, when I remember when I was in the synagogue, there was a time where there were a lot of threats that were coming through to the South African Jewish community, and so the security had, there is security, but security at all the synagogues had to be stepped up. And then they asked also volunteers from the community, from the Jewish community, that would take turns during the day, especially at Jewish schools where there are children, helpless children, innocent children, that you know, would we take turns to do our shifts. Standing outside, you would be with another you would be with an actual security guard. And you just watch and observe if there were people driving past that looked suspicious or things that were happening. And, you know, you got a walkie-talkie. And I remember being one of the first people that volunteered at that time, because I really felt the burden of what was really happening. And that continued for a while. So having been someone that was part of it, I also, when the rabbi and his wife were killed in Mumbai all those years ago, I remember writing a piece about it, and it was published on a very, very big international Jewish site, and feeling the pain and the burden of what happens. And the Jewish people are always going to be a target, because that is the devil's diabolical plan. And but today I just really wanted us just to say pray for them in our own hearts and in our own homes, with these innocent Jewish lives gathered in a synagogue on a Sabbath to read the Torah, just, and then someone coming in and just killing all those people. And it's really a sad thing. We think of the families today. We pray for Yeshua's comfort for them. And we pray that even as, you know, darkness gets thick, that we will continue to shine the light. And that is what Yeshua has called us to do. Light can overcome darkness. We can continue standing. And so I just really do pray, as Yeshua said, the blessed are those who mourn, you know, for they will be comforted. And we pray for that for them today, and for all those who are suffering because of this. We just think of them. And I just really wanted to pay that tribute on the coffee break today.
Amen. Amen. So let's actually just pray. Father, we just want to pray today, as Leah said, Father, for all those families and the lives that were lost, Father. Mm-hmm. We want to ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will comfort those that are mourning, Father, as your word says, Father. And I also pray, Father, that this whole situation, Father, and we know, Yahweh, that there are forces at work, Father, globally at the moment, Father, that are really trying to upset things, Yahweh. And in all of this, Father, we know that you're in control. So we want to lift these families up to you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. And we ask, Father, that as they cry out to you, Father, these Jewish families, that you will really hear their cry and their plea, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Leah, I was sitting and asking the Father what to do on the coffee break. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, week in and week out, the Father is faithful in the way that he speaks to us. And I don't know, you know, I think for many people sometimes, I don't know what people think, to be honest with you, But I know that when I, you know, when I used to go to, you know, a Torah study, or I used to go to a church, you always used to go with this expectancy that you're going to receive something, not knowing actually what goes on in the background, and maybe what the poor minister or pastor or teacher was going through in the week, trying to ask and cry out to Yahweh, what must I teach your people? And, you know, in the book of James, it says that not every one of us should be teachers, because we'll be held at a higher standard. And that's the thing. We can't just come to the coffee break and be like, hey, you know what, let's just, you know, just jabber on about anything.
You know, yes, if you make me think of something now, I mean, I was in a Torah group, a Messianic Torah group, for years and years and years, and I used to stay over on a Friday night, and we had Shabbat studies on the Saturday, obviously. But I remember I would stay over on the Friday night, and I would hear at roughly 6 a.m. on Shabbat morning, I mean, that's super early, I would hear, I mean, the Torah study only started at 10, between 10 and 10:30, but I would hear the guy who's the man, the teacher, that he would wake up at, and I would hear him at 6 a.m. And in summer, he would go and he would sit underneath the fan, or in winter, they had a beautiful fireplace, and he would go and he would start at 6 a.m. and he had his Bible and he had his cup of tea, and he would start at 6 a.m. He had been preparing the whole week already, hey, because he was preparing continually. But at 6 a.m., he would get up on Saturday morning to re-go over and to just ask Yahweh, what's going on in your word, until just before 10 a.m., where he would like quickly jump in the shower and get dressed and then be ready to receive everybody. And that was the commitment and the requirement. Like you said, there's so much stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Everybody would rock up. It would amaze me, actually, because everybody would rock up and everyone would sit down and look at him and be like, okay, what are we learning today? And he would get into it, and everyone would say, why, such a gifted teacher and everything. But he is a gifted teacher, and he still is, and he was. But what went in to getting there? Do you know what I mean? Everyone just came and plonked and sat down, and some of them were still waking up, and some of them were like half dressed, and I don't even know if they brushed their teeth before they came, but they were there. And he had been prepping for hours and hours before the time. That is super, super commitment, not so, and faithfulness. Just like you're saying, we don't know what happens behind the scenes when someone takes to the pulpit.
It's true. So I pray that this week what we discussed, that it will really be a blessing to you. I pray that what the Father's laid on my heart and what He's shared, that it will really be a blessing. Mm. And you know, we're all at different places in our walk, and that's the honest truth. Some are further, some are new to the walk, but we all go through the same things, and that's found in Yahweh's Word. So I was sitting, Aaliyah, and I was reading Romans chapter 5, and I was reading Romans as well as Peter, as well as James. And I want to share a few things with you this week, and I hope that as we go through this, that something will spur inside of you, and that it will cause you to realize maybe why you're going through what you're going through. Or maybe you saying, well, I'm not going through those things, but there's going to come a time, brother and sister, in your life where you will go through these things, because the Father, He loves us so much, and He wants us to be the people that are called by His name. So therefore, He takes us through these things. And I know for many of you listening that maybe you are going through this. And I want to read to you what it says. It says this. Therefore, I'm reading Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through Messiah Yeshua, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of Yahweh. Now listen to what it says in verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character. Wow, man, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of Yahweh has been poured out within our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh who has been given to us. Now I sat and I looked at this passage of scripture, and I said to Yahweh, what is it that you're wanting to say to us as a body? And you know, the first thing that really struck me, Aaliyah, was verse 1. You know, it says in verse 1 the following. It says this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Mm. And you know, this is actually very interesting, because this introduction, or this first part that he talks about, he says that we have been justified by our faith, by our belief in Messiah Yeshua. But he also goes on and he says, now we have been, he actually uses the word, this is our introduction to this grace. So he says that, you know, being justified by faith, when we believe in Messiah Yeshua, we are brought into the family. But this is like an introduction into how to explain it? Into the almost like monumentous is a word that I would like to use. Monumentous, or huge amount of the Father's grace that has been given to us through Yeshua. We are just receiving, when we get saved, a little bit of that grace. That grace that is sufficient for us. And I think that, you know, coming out of the church, many of us, or some of you are still, you know, you look at the word grace and we kind of like, grace, everybody always talks about grace. But the fact of the matter is that Yeshua, by the Father's love and by the commitment that he had to the stake, he showed us, or he showed us exactly what grace is about. Mm. But that grace is only a little bit of what we experience when we just save. And Paul's talking about it, and he says, this is just an introduction of what the Father wants to give you as you grow and as you mature in your faith. And he goes on and he says this, and I find this very interesting. He says in verse 3 something, and when I read it, I was like, come on, man, this is crazy. And he says this, and not only this, but also exult in our tribulations. Now I want to ask you something. When last did you exult in your tribulation? When last did you sit there and be like, yay, I'm going through tribulation. This is awesome. Give me some more, man. I want to do it. Think about it. When last did you exult in your tribulation? You know, brothers and sisters, when we go through tribulations, so often we are quick to turn around and say, hey, you know what, devil, get away from me. You know what, devil, get behind me. Devil, you are tempting me. You are giving me so much of a hassle. But yet we fail to stop and actually deduce from the situation what's actually going on. And if we are truly to be the children of Yahweh, if we are truly to be the sons and daughters of righteousness, then we have to stop for a second and say to ourselves, okay, Yahweh's word says, I will refine you. I will test you. I will put you through the fire. And just this week, I was sitting when I was listening, you know, to some music and I was praying. And I said to Leah, you know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they are in that fiery furnace, something strikes me every single time that I think about that story. Is that Yahweh, in his power and his majesty, he could have taken them right out of the fire as a sign and a symbol to the king and to show the king, hey, you know what, you're messing with my children. But Yahweh doesn't do that. Yahweh instead sends Yeshua into the fire in the midst of their trial. He's standing right there with them. He doesn't take the fire and say, hey, you know what, let's put the fire out and show this king exactly who I am. No, he lets the fire burn until the fire can't burn anymore. Just the natural occurrences of the fire keeps on going. But yet, there in the midst, what happens? The king looks in, and what does he see? He sees another person with him, a fourth person walking in the midst of the fire. And this reminds me, you know, Leah, of what it says in the book of Revelation, that Messiah Yeshua is the lampstand, the one, and we see him walking through the midst of the fire. He walks through the midst of the congregation. He's the one that is there to sustain us during our trial, during the tough times. He's the one that holds all things together. And he could have taken them out of the fire, but yet he was there. So we need to understand something, that Yahweh is taking us through a trial. He's taking you through a tribulation. He's taking you through a test. And we're going to look at that as we go on. That the word tribulation and test is one and the same Greek word. So people always go, oh, I'm being tested. I'm being tempted by the enemy. But sometimes we give him too much credit. Whereas it's the Father and Yeshua that's putting you through a trial because of what it says further on in this passage. So I found it very, very interesting. So firstly, tribulations producing us. Tribulations, the actual Greek word, Elia, for tribulations is pressure, like as in pressing the fluid from olives. Now, I've done a teaching called, it was called, Are Your Garments Oiled? And you know, I spoke about the olives and about the oil that comes from the olive. And in order to, you know, nobody cooks with one olive. Nobody takes one olive and squeezes it and says, okay, I got enough oil to cook my food with. We have an entire bottle filled with, it says, pure virgin olive oil. And if you think about how many olives have to be crushed in order to get one bottle of pure olive oil, it speaks to me in volumes of about how the Father, how he wants us to be the kingdom of priests that we've been called to be. But it doesn't just take me being pressed. It doesn't just take Aaliyah being pressed. It doesn't just take maybe, you know, two or three people listening to the coffee break as well as us being pressed in order to get that bottle of olive oil. It takes the whole house of Israel. Every single one of us needs to be pressed and pressed hard. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what comes out of us when we're pressed? What comes out of us when we are pressured from the world? What comes out of us when we are oppressed by Yahweh himself to say, hey, you know what, Elia, I'm going to put you under a little bit of pressure. I'm going to put you under the trial that you're going to go through because I actually want you to see face to face what comes out of you when you go through this. I want you to see that there's still a few things in your life that are going to be a problem for you further down the road.
I think that we see that as a bad thing in the sense of when we say, and I most certainly have always interpreted as like that in the sense of we say, you know, what comes out of you when you press? And then we automatically think that it's negative. But just say we're going through something and in that we start to feel maybe down or sad or fearful or stressed, or those things are actually not negative things. Amen. Those are telling things, revealing things. And when you're in a situation and say you feel anxious or you're feeling anxiety, we've always interpreted that as negative. It's something that people try and avoid. But if we stop and say, what is my anxiety telling me? We can begin to uncover why we struggle with certain things. So say we're in a situation, we get anxious about whatever, you know, performance or something that we have to do, and we unsure. Maybe at the root of that is a fear of failure, and that Yahweh wants to go into that place with you by his love and say that you're not a failure to me, you will never be a failure. And deeper still, you're feeling that way because people have told you that you're going to be like that, or you've heard these words over and over again that you're just going to be a failure. So when we go through something like this, Yahweh is doing it in love with us to say, well, maybe now you're going through something and you've just given up. Maybe that's a character flaw that you have, that every time you go through a trial or a test, you just throw in the towel. Maybe you were like that before you got saved, in your relationships or in your family or in whatever. And that is a character issue that Yahweh wants to work out in you, because you're not supposed to be a person who gives up. You're supposed to be a person that presses in. What is at the root of you giving up all the time? Could be anything. Or maybe you go through something and you become very, very angry. Now that's also a character flaw. What's at the root of that anger? Where did it come from? So our trials and our pressures can, if we look at it with the correct mindset, ask questions of us that we can take to Yahweh, that Yahweh is asking us to ask ourselves, and that he's saying, I'm taking you through this, whatever it may be. And it's not always negative. We could get a job promotion, for example. That's fantastic news. And it starts to, when we get that promotion, we start to encounter a few things we don't like about our characters, or how we do now things in the business world, or how we do this. And we start to realize, I'm not actually who I thought I was completely. So Yahweh gives you something good. And then he says, okay, let's walk through this together. Let's deal with that bit of hurt. Let's deal with that bit of pride. Let's deal with that father wound, and starts to just go through. And if we can start to see this as being positive, I think that we can really then learn what the scripture says here. We will develop good character and spiritual maturity.
Yeah, amen. You know, something that you said earlier about being pressed. I think what we fail to understand is that we get pressed today, and today maybe in your life there's bad things that come out. But as we mature through this process, the aim in the end is for the oil to come out. The oil that has come by endurance, the oil that has come by allowing the Father to work in you. So in other words, when you're faced with a trial and you get through that trial, it produces maturity in you, and it produces that character, and it produces that endurance. So the next time when you're faced with that same situation where things are pressing you down and they're actually squeezing upon you, instead of, you know, the crazy things that sometimes come out of us, and the negativity and the feelings of, oh, I'm going to fail, instead of those things coming out of us, it's like an oil. It's like a positive energy, or positive, I wouldn't say energy, a positivity that comes out of us, because Yahweh's spirit in us is alive, and that produces an oil, like an aroma. That's why Paul says, he says that we are the fragrance of Messiah Yeshua. That's what we're supposed to be. So it produces in us the good things that come out. And it's that oil that Yahweh can use. It's like a lubricant. application on our bodies, on our system that uses what Yahweh's given us. And you know, another thing that we need to understand about this too is that when it speaks here about tribulations in the Greek, it's not speaking about tribulations in the sense of normal pressures of life, but rather it's speaking about the difficulties that we encounter as believers. So it's not talking about, hey, you know, 2 weeks ago I had a car accident. Yes, that was a bad thing that happened to me, but it's talking about what happens to you as a believer. It's talking about the things that Yahweh puts in your path, like with Job. Things happen in Job's life, one, for the glory of Yahweh to be revealed, but also for Job to be able to deal with his own life and see that Yahweh was good, that Yahweh was for him and not against him. So I want to ask you the question today. What are you going through in your life today that to you seems like a massive mountain? But in essence, if you stop and you just put your car in neutral and you idle a little bit and look around your surroundings, maybe you'll come to see that Yahweh, in his love for you, is taking you through a trial. Why? Because his purpose is to cause you to mature so that in the days to come, maybe he's wanting you to be part of this final movement that he has upon the earth. And in order for you to be part of that final movement, to be a forerunner, he has to prune you. He has to temper you. You know, the way that a blacksmith makes something strong is by putting it in the fire, and he's got to do it over and over and over. And not only the fire, but he takes his hammer and he hits that metal while it's hot, and he bends it into shape so that it can be what it needs to be. And so often we think to ourselves, okay, well, I'm in the fire, but as soon as we get a few hammer blows that knocks us around and causes us to bend a little bit, we're like, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh is saying, and you know, there's a phrase that I heard someone say a long time ago, that the hammer blows of life shouldn't cause us to be bent downward. Instead, it should cause us to bend upwards towards Yahweh. It should cause us to cry out to Yahweh and say, Father, why am I going through this? Father, show me what in this life you want me to do. Because if we are truly the children of Yahweh, then we need to believe that his word is eternal. And he says, I will continue to do what? I will bless you. That's what he says. And we're not living for the blessing, but he says, I will cause you to prosper, and I will be with you, and I will give you long life. These are things that he says. So when we're going through a trial and it feels like everything's falling apart, we should stop and ask the Father why. Why are we going through these things? And you know, Daniel, like I said, Daniel and also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, in the book of Daniel chapter 12, it tells us that Yahweh will refine people in this generation, and that the refinement will be for their benefit so that they might mature and so that they might grow.
Amen. I think that now we should go to our first song for the coffee break. Okay, so we have got an awesome song for you today. We want this song to bless you. We want this song to speak to you. We want this song to be a prayer, because really it's called Goodness, Love and Mercy, and it's from Psalm 23 of Chris Tomlin's new album called Holy Raw. And we just pray that this song is totally going to speak to you, that you're going to enjoy it. And when we come back, Yosef, we're going to continue speaking about these trials, about the perseverance, about character, and about growing through it all. So enjoy, and see you soon.
You're my shepherd, you make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters, you restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me.
a cool song. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow me wherever I go. Welcome back to the Coffee Break. And we are talking about Romans chapter 5. That's where we are based this week. And that is what we are talking about. Exulting in our sufferings, rejoicing in our hardship, building character, strength, and spiritual maturity. So Yusuf, what else do you want to share with us from this passage of scripture?
You know, Leah, he says in this passage of scripture, he says that tribulation brings about perseverance. And you know, I was looking at the word perseverance, and it's sometimes translated as patience. So it's saying that your tribulation and what you're going through will produce in you patience. Or another way of looking at patience is, you know, long suffering, waiting on things. And you know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's actually the ability to remain under tremendous weight. That's what it means. So it's the ability to say, hey, you know what, I'm going through this trial, but I'm going to be patient while I'm going through it, because I know that if I bail out of this thing, if I don't go through it to the end, then I might not have, as the next part of this passage says, the character that the Father wants me to have. It's a process. So it starts off with a tribulation that produces in us perseverance that then proves our character. If you look at what it says, the next part it says, then you'll have proven character. And you know, the Greek word for this proven character is actually where we get our English word proof. In other words, there will be physical evidence that you have gone through something. So in other words, you cannot just go from a trial and then all of a sudden have this proven character that the Father wants you to have. Mm. You see, brothers and sisters, if we want to be the children that Yahweh's called us to be, if we want to be people that are able to stand up and wage war against the enemy in this final generation, if we want to be the sons and daughters of righteousness, then we need to truly say to ourselves, do I have the character that the Father wants me to have? When the enemy comes in like a flood, he's going to attack you on your character. He's going to hit you hard. And that's why we've always said on this, in this, you know, coffee break and also on the ministry, that it doesn't matter whether you're called to full-time ministry. It doesn't matter whether you have a gift of prophecy or whether you have the gift of speaking in tongues. If your character is flawed, then those other things are just going to fall apart. That's why our character needs to be tempered and tried through tribulation and through trials. That's what he's saying. So it's actually used, this word proof, it's used in testing metals for their purity. And you know, that's what the Father does. That's why it says in the book of Malachi that I will refine the children of Yahweh. It says that I will be that Yeshua is the refiner, that he's the one sitting refining us. And then in the end, he wants us to be like gold. All the impurities need to be taken away. That's what's happening in this passage. And the tribulation that we're going through and the things that we go through should cause us to be blessed. Now, you know, James, I was looking at this passage earlier, and then I went to James chapter 1, and I want to read to you what James says about trials, because I found it very interesting. And it says, blessed is the one that endures under trials. Now, I'd like to, you know, Leah's sitting and she's looking at me, and I want to ask you, Leah, when last did you feel blessed when you went through a trial? When last did you honestly look back at it and say, well, you know what? Blessed was I when I was going through this hard, hard time.
Hey, I'm not all like super spiritual, want to like be like, hey, that was me, whatever. But I did that this morning.
Oh, amen.
And I'm not like super spiritual and like super cool and like Wonder Woman in the spirit realm or anything. But this morning, you know, when I was busy praying, I don't want to get like all emotional now and stuff. But this morning when I was, you know, busy praying and just really speaking to the Father, and it was about something specific, and I actually said to him that, you know, this year was really hard, but through it all, you are doing this most amazing thing, and there's such a shift and there's such a change. And I just want this newness that you're doing to continue. So I thank you for what you've done. And I thank you for the fact that I'm still in a trial as I move towards something specific, because I'm learning a lot about myself, and I'm learning a lot about what he's teaching me. So that is why earlier on I could actually say from a place of peace that when we look at all these things with the correct mindset, the mind of Yeshua, then that's the mind that we have to pray to have, then we will see what we go through in a very different way. And I think that the Father was saying to me for a while, anoint your mind, take physical oil and anoint your head. Because my mind was chaos, the confusion and everything that was happening, and just that continual praying over my mind and the Father leading me to do that. And one day there was this almost like a shift that came, and I knew that it was a spiritual shift. And so I was able to be able to start to recognize beauty through trial. And this doesn't seem negative to me. This doesn't seem negative. Amen. Why? I think maybe in the past, when I've read this, it would have been like, oh, hardship, man, distress, pressure, trouble. This is stupid stuff. I don't want that stuff. But now we don't see, you shouldn't see this as negative. I don't think that when the first congregation of believers in the book of Acts were all gathered in their homes at praying up a storm and feeding Yahweh's presence, or when they were put in prison and the doors opened and when an angel appeared, I don't believe that they saw that as negative. It said, actually, that when they were beaten up and stuff, John and Peter, they were beaten really badly for proclaiming Yeshua. Right. They were so over the moon. The Bible actually says they were rejoicing. Why?
Because they found, they counted the cost. They were because found worthy.
That's right. What it says. It says because they were worth suffering for Yeshua's name. They recognize, that's the mindset of the Spirit, that you recognize, they recognize that they were beaten because they revealed Yeshua to the world. Amen. And the world was beating them because they were revealing Yeshua. That's the mindset of the Spirit. Amen. Knowing that, man, I'm suffering today because I'm more like him. You know, Christians, a lot of Christians wear that "what would Jesus do" band on their arm, you know. So what would Yeshua do? What does Yeshua look like? If we can truly be that representation of Yeshua to the dying world, we are living our calling. And to be beaten for living your calling, they can probably be nothing better. Well, to them, there was nothing better. It was like, I'm beaten because I reveal Yeshua. Man, bring it on, beat me some more. You know, and they were like that. I don't think that they saw that negativity. Mm-hmm. And we have a problem today, Yusuf. I'm going to complete what I'm going to say in 20 seconds. We have a problem today because when we are just so negative, the news has made us negative people. We South Africans, I don't know how it is overseas. I'm South African and talk about South African. We are negative. Last week, sitting around a pool at my brother's house, and the people are negative. Oh, the country's going in a bad way. We have so many issues. Man, we are negative. It's that negativity that's just going to destroy what we need to do in the Spirit. They were negative. They were in jail. They were beaten. They didn't have homes. They didn't have a place to sleep. They were eventually put on a cross, and most of them were killed upside down. Man, we must get away from this negativity. Amen. We've got to get in with the mindset of the Spirit. Let's face our trials and our hardships with the mindset of the Spirit. And today, if you're facing a trial and you're feeling like you cannot, maybe just take a bottle of oil, anoint your mind, and ask the Ruach to come and give you the mindset of the Spirit. We set our minds on things that are above, not below. Things that are good, that are holy, that are pure, that are noble, that are worth talking about. Amen.
Amen. So in James chapter 1 and verse 12, I want to read this to you quickly. It says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when the lust conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." And then he goes on. But I want to just say this to you. The question is, how can you be blessed during a trial? And James gives us the answer, like Elias said. It's when we persevere under trial. Because then, when we persevere under the trial, we will be approved. Not approved by the world, not approved by anyone else, but we will be approved by Yahweh. And approved means that we would have passed the test. We would have done what Yahweh expected of us. And Israel in the wilderness did not pass the test. Yet they because of it, they had to continue in the wilderness. And Yahweh is saying, I want you to be approved. I want you to be a person whom I can use in this generation. And that word for trial that I said previously is also the word tempted. And that's why he says here in James, you see, the difficult circumstances in our lives, brothers and sisters, are meant to, as I said before, bend us upwards towards the Father. Mm. It's not supposed to cause us to look at our situation and feel defeated. It's supposed to cause us to look to Yahweh and then to obey His word that He's given us, the promises that Yahweh has given us, the things that He's told us, and then to remain confident in His care, not in the things of this world or in our own efforts, but to remain confident that Yahweh, who started the good work in you, will bring it to completion. Yeah. That's what it means. That's why James says that we must do this, because if we don't do these things, then we begin to doubt and we begin to disobey, and then it becomes temptation to us, because that's when the enemy comes and says, hey, you know what? Yahweh told you this, but it's not happening. So then, yeah, it's the temptation that comes in, and we begin to believe the lie instead of believing the truth of what Yahweh has said to us. So that's why James says in James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres during that trial and does not give into the trial or the temptation of that trial. So when the enemy tells you, hey, you know what, Yahweh's put you through this thing, just like Job's friends were saying, no, you know what, this isn't good, and they were telling him, man, you just got to quit, and all this kind of stuff. That's what happens when we're in those trials. The enemy will play upon our own thoughts. And then that's when we need to stand, Aaliyah, upon the promises that Yahweh has given us, that He who started that good work will complete it, that what He has done in our lives He will bring to the end, that Yahweh is for us, that He's not against us, and that Yahweh in us is bringing about these things. Now, you know, I want to ask you this question as well. What do we profit when we go through trials? What do we profit in enduring through these trials? And you know, if we go back in James and we read James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this. Consider it, and Aaliyah was just talking about it now, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Man, this is how we're supposed to live. We must be filled with joy when we go through these things, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And it's going back to what was said in Romans chapter 5. And it says, and let endurance have its perfect result. Now, the word perfect in this passage, brothers and sisters, is that same word again that we've been speaking about so many times in all the teachings. The word perfect there is that it may have its maturing process in your life. And then it says result, so that you may be perfect, a good child, a mature child, and complete, lacking in nothing. Then it says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect what he will receive anything from Yahweh, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
I believe that this here, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom. You know, many times we just take that scripture out and we say, yeah, if any of you have a lack, just ask. Here it's talking about if any of you lacks wisdom, you are to ask Yahweh. I believe that it has to do with that testing and that trial, yes, because it's connected. If we need the wisdom to know how to get through the trial. Yes. We have the wisdom. That's why, like I used that example earlier on, when going through this hard time and the Father speaking to me and saying, anoint yourself physically with oil on your mind, because He was giving me wisdom to know how to deal with what was happening. Amen. In my trial. The Amen. Trial was happening, but the enemy was also coming against me in my mind. So the Ruach just speaks to you and says, okay, this is what's happening. It's a battle in your mind. Anoint this and I'm going to move. And so He gives us wisdom to know how to overcome. So if you're going through something today and you're feeling low and you're feeling like I cannot do it, and it's all these things, ask for wisdom today about your trial, because that's the context of what's Amen. Actually being said here. Say, Yahweh, I'm feeling down, or I don't know how, or something. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to go through this? What do I need to do now? Is there a prayer I need to pray? Is there a scripture I need to read? Is there oil I need to put on myself? Is there something I need to proclaim? Is there something I need to speak? Am I supposed to sing the Shema? Am I supposed to put on worship music? What am I supposed to do right now? Because this is a battlefield, people. This is a battlefield that we are on. And while we go through our trial, Yosef, we cannot be blind to the reality that the enemy also sees what we're going through.
That's right.
And so he's going to come slyly to kind of break us down in the trial, because it's there in our trial where I believe that we can limp a bit. And so the enemy will come in, because sometimes, you know, when you're going through a trial, you don't know the purpose of it. Come on.
No, you don't.
You don't know what Yahweh is doing. No. Sometimes he feels far away. Mm. Sometimes he feels like he's left you. So then the enemy's going to play on that.
That's
and
right.
He's going to be like, see, he doesn't care about you. He's just left you. One set of footprints in the sand. you know, like that story. But when we look back, we will see it was then that Yeshua carried us. But the enemy is going to hammer us on that. That is why to ask for wisdom in our trials is wise.
Amen. You know, Leah, when I looked at these passages, and I want to share this just shortly with you, you know, the word consider, actually, when we look at the word consider in James, he says, consider it all joy. But the actual Greek word means to evaluate. You need to evaluate the situation. You need to, and our natural response is always to kind of rejoice when things are going right, but not to rejoice when things are going bad. So he's saying evaluate the situation and see why you're going through this thing. And then count it all joy because Yahweh has positioned you and chosen you to go through this trial. And you know, trials, what we also need to understand about a trial is that a trial actually breaks the pattern of your normal daily routine. It breaks the pattern of a peaceful life. It breaks the pattern of your comfort that you always find yourself in. It also can break the pattern of your joy and your happiness and bring you into a place where you're going through something totally different. But Yahweh wants you to look at it and say, hey, you know what? Let me count it still joy, even though it feels like my joy is going, even though it feels like my comfort is gone. And it's actually a verb, the word trial, and it actually means to put someone or something to the test with the purpose of discovering that person's nature or that thing's quality. So Yahweh is putting you through the test. Why? Because he wants to see what kind of character you have. He wants to see what kind of quality your character is. He wants to see what stinky things are still inside your life.
Just like we read in the Torah reading this week with Abraham. Abraham had to sacrifice his son.
That's right.
And it was a test. That Yahweh put Abraham through 10 tests. And Yahweh, oh man, come on. Yahweh knows the choice that we will make. Mm. But yet, oh, and I love it. And this week when I was reading about Abraham and how he took Isaac up this mountain and this chill conversation he has with Isaac. No, son, don't worry. Yahweh will provide the lamb. I just saw this week just this calmness in Abraham. And I think it must have been very difficult. Let's not take away the humanity of the situation and the humanity of taking your son that you love up. But Hebrews tells us, and I believe it, that Abraham believed Amen. That if Yahweh could raise Isaac back from the dead, if that was Yahweh's will. Right. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Abraham went with faith, knowing that I'm going to give my son to you. But Yahweh, I know you well, and I believe you well, that if you wanted to, you could raise him back to life again. And I believe that there was a stillness. I just saw the stillness in Abraham this week, you know. And this calmness in him of saying, son, Yahweh will provide the lamb. You know, and we know that Isaac was about 40 years old. Mm. He wasn't a little kid. Mm. And, you know, what was Isaac thinking in that moment too? He's walking with his father. And, I mean, it must have just been the test. The test that Abraham went through there was exactly like you were saying. Yahweh wanted to see what was really inside of him. Amen. Are you abandoned to me? Will you give me everything? Do you believe in me so much that when you do something like this, that I could do the impossible for you? And that's also what I saw this week. Abraham believed well. He believed that Yahweh could raise his son back to life if that was his will. So it wasn't just about Abraham, would you give me everything that you have? It was also Abraham, do you believe I can do the impossible? I once gave you a promise that your seed would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. Do you believe that if you killed your son today, I could raise him to life so that I could still fulfill my promise to you? And that speaks to me, Yosef, that when our promises look dead and when the things that Yahweh said he would do seem like they are in the grave because we've had to sacrifice them and we've had to give them up, our dreams, or we've faced disappointment in our life, do we believe that he is the all-sufficient miracle working in him, that if he wants, he could resurrect every dead dream, every sacrifice, everything that we've been through to make it as beautiful as the promises that he once gave us? Do we believe that today? Not just with a yes and amen, but with a real heartfelt yes, like Abraham gave, to sacrifice it all with the belief of Yahweh, you can if you want to. Yahweh made him promises. I mean, Yahweh, he can. He can make the impossible possible.
Amen. So my question, Leah, is this. Why does Yahweh then do this? Why does he do this to us? And you know, the truth of the matter is, there's only one reason that I could come up with. And the truth, when I look at all of Scripture, like as in the book of Hebrews, and you look at all the things that people went through, and how in the book of Hebrews it says some were even sawn asunder. They were cut in half. But yet Yahweh, in all of this, the thing that Yahweh is trying to do is to strengthen the quality of your faith. You know, in the beginning, we started in the book of James, where it says that, you know, you were justified by your faith. And this was an introduction. This was an introduction. When you got saved, brothers and sisters, Yahweh introduces you to His grace. But as you continue walking this road, if you are not going through trials, if you are not going through things like this, you need to question and ask the Father why. Because the truth of the matter is that the introduction should lead you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him and cause that faith to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. That's what Paul speaks about. So therefore, when we are saved, we are being introduced to this faith. And as we mature in our walk, the Father takes us through trials and tribulations. And that introduction becomes a real reality as we begin to endure and as we begin to go through these things. It just becomes stronger and our faith becomes more secure in Yahweh. So trials are a drive, or it's there to drive us to a greater dependency on Yahweh. Lean not upon your own understanding, but acknowledge Yahweh in all His ways, and He will make you strong. That's what Yahweh tells us. But we are to have faith in His promises, so that we no longer depend on ourselves, but that we depend on Him. And then there was a last thing that I really wanted to share, and it's, you know, verse 8. It says, don't be double-minded. Don't be a double-minded person. It says, like Elias said, it says that, you know, that we must ask Yahweh when we are going through situations to give us the answers to why we are going through these things, and not to be a double-minded person. And you know, the literal translation says having your mind or soul divided between Yahweh and the world. So often we have our mind and our soul divided between Yahweh and the world. So when we go through trials and tribulations and it gets too difficult, instead of trusting Yahweh, we turn back to the world. And you know, Leah was speaking about this week's Torah portion. And in this week's Torah portion too, it speaks about Lot. And we see how they were going through the trial that they were going through. And the city was being destroyed. And yet what happens? Lot's wife turns back. She looks back behind her to see what's going on. And that's exactly what Yahweh is trying to tell us not to do. When we are going through trials and tribulations, don't look back. Don't look back to Egypt. Don't look back to the things that were behind you. Look forward to what Yahweh has in store for you, so that Yahweh can bless you, so that Yahweh can make you strong, and so that you can get through this thing.
You know, I just wanted to add something about Lot's wife. I once read something that someone wrote, and it just really struck me. And they were saying about Lot's wife, you know, she turned around to look back at the city as they were fleeing. And it is a negative thing. We know that she gets turned into a pillar of salt, but the person was actually writing and saying perhaps she looked back because she left her children behind. She left her daughters behind. It actually says that. So Lot and his wife had married daughters and son-in-laws, and they went, and Lot told them that this was going to happen, and they laughed and wouldn't leave. So him and his wife took their two unmarried daughters with them. And she looked, as she was running away, she just turned back around to see. Now, we always think that maybe she turned back around to see because she was so in love with this wicked city. But what if she was turning around because her family members were still left behind? Because her children that she had born from her own womb were left behind and had died. And she was watching them die. And in that, I also realized that we all have choices to make in our lives, Yosef. And sometimes I've come to see that I've met a lot of people in life, and a lot of them are held back by their family members. Mm. And that's the honest truth.
That's true.
And many of us, myself included, have family members that don't serve Yeshua and that don't recognize Him as Messiah and that refuse to serve the light, but instead serve darkness and go towards the darkness. And we've got to take that from Lot's wife as well and say that we must pray for our family members, and we must tell them the truth, and we must tell the people we love the truth. And but inevitably, they will have to choose, and we must not turn back because of our families or because of other people to be like Lot's wife was. She turned into a pillar of salt because she couldn't entrust Yahweh with the outcome of everything. And I just felt to say that this evening. I just felt to say that. To say that that is how it is. And I trust that all of our family members that we all pray for will be saved. But at the end of the day, we have to go through our trial to move towards our maturity, to move towards the eternal kingdom that Yahweh has for us and for them. But they must also choose their path in life, and that we can't make anybody do what they don't want to do.
Mm. That's so true. We can't make anybody do what they don't want to do. And I think sometimes we forget that. All we can do is pray. Mm. So I want to end off this evening with a passage of scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's from verse 5. It says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge." You know, I could preach an hour and a half sermon just on those few words. So often, brothers and sisters, we add to our knowledge before we have added to our moral excellence. Mm. We add knowledge, brothers and sisters. We come out of the church and we haven't looked at ourselves, and we don't have moral excellence. Our character is flawed. It is so messed up. So what do? We come out from the church and we go straight into the Torah movement and we begin to add knowledge to ourselves, but we haven't dealt yet with our issues of faith. We haven't dealt yet with our issues of excellence and moral excellence. He's talking about your character here. You cannot add knowledge to a person whose character is flawed, because they're going to get puffed up, and then they're going to become a person that's all about what they have in their head and not what they have in their heart. And then he goes on and he says, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control. Do you see that? So many people today, brothers and sisters, they have knowledge, but they don't have self-control. And they walk around with the knowledge that they have, and because their character is flawed, this is building on one another. If you don't have the one, you won't have the other. If you don't have the right character, you will never be able to have self-control. So you'll take that knowledge and you'll use it as an instrument that will bring distraction instead of building up. And then he goes on and he says, and in your self-control, perseverance. This is such an awesome way that he writes this. And in your perseverance, godliness. You see, brothers and sisters, when we have moral character and we have knowledge, godly knowledge, and we have self-control and we have perseverance, then that's when godliness shines out of us. Why? Because we begin to have the character and the mind of Messiah Yeshua. And then in verse 7 it says, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master Yeshua. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, by all the more diligence to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Master Yeshua will be abundantly supplied. That's what he wants for you, and that's what he wants for me. Brothers and sisters, remember what we said in the very beginning, that this trial produces endurance, and that endurance produces godly character. Yahweh wants us to have the character, the mind, and the will of Messiah Yeshua in our lives, so that when the world looks at us, they won't see Yosef, they'll see him. So know that no matter what you're going through now, ask the Father, as Elias said, to show you what it is, to give you the wisdom and understanding in the trial that you're facing.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to our final song of the evening, and we are going to just sit and listen to the song. It's called You Revive Me by Passion, and it's such a beautiful song. I really pray that it will bless you.
Are real. And I know the way you are. It can be us to seek you in the dark. And your face shines a glory that I only know in part. And there is still a longing in my heart. You revive.
You breathe on me. You revive me.